The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Ugly scenes at UCLA as pro-Palestinian protesters and their opponents engage in violent clashes. Anger flared at the line of barricades that has been set up at the pro-Palestinian encampment on the campus.
Shame on them! They're not letting students in based on their ethnicity!
One guy holding a can of what's believed to be bear spray let loose. Brawls erupted. There were fierce confrontations over the metal fencing separating the two camps. Fireworks also flew. Clouds of smoke filled the air. These guys stomped on a Palestinian flag that had been torn apart. And this video shows protesters huddled behind a barricade as if braced for an attack. After 2 hours of chaos, they called in law enforcement. There were cheers and applause as police approached the scene and formed lines.
You want peace, we want justice.
You want peace, we want justice.
There's a struggle going on over here now, but again, some...
Wow.
Oh, jeez. My goodness.
And Gina...
This is so dangerous. Again, they're shooting rubber bullets, but I can tell you from doing stories about rubber bullets, they are extremely painful. If they hit your leg, your arm, they could break your arm. But they're trying to get into this encampment to get everyone arrested and out of this encampment.
These pictures are remarkable coming into us right now, into the newsroom, when you see what looks like dozens, if not perhaps hundreds, of police officers in full riot gear, and they're trying to get on to clear this encampment. And again, Americans haven't seen scenes like this since the 1960s, when college campuses erupted over protests in Vietnam. And now we're seeing this again play out on college campuses all across the country.
Donald Trump and people around him are figuring out how to subvert democracy if he doesn't win. And let me say that slowly, so his apologists, who will write this in an op-ed, laughing, oh, they're saying Donald Trump. No, Donald Trump's own words say, they don't suggest, they say he will subvert democracy if he doesn't win. And if he does win, it'll be worse. Yeah. He will subvert democracy more. He will fire prosecutors who will not arrest his political opponents. He said it.
He says what he's going to do. What he's going to do, to your point, Joe, is have the FCC report to him so he will be able to control shows like this. He wants the FTC to report to him. He wants to bring the Insurrection Act back so he can turn military troops on his own people. Mm-hmm. He wants to weaponize, as you said, the Justice Department to go after his enemies. He wants to put women on a registry in red states for abortion.
Somebody out in the Trump sort of stratosphere were put on a website and say, look at Donny Deutsch freaking out, right?
There is something consistently dark. He's always been dark and he's always been self-obsessed, a villainous narcissist, but there's something more so over the clear and present danger that the disgraced, twice impeached, four times indicted ex-president poses to American democracy today, that we as a nation and as a republic are not out of danger from Trump and Trumpism just yet.
Something really bad is going to happen. Okay. It's about to hit the fan in this country. When something happens, what do you want to be able to tell your kids and grandkids you did? You good with nothing?
But if Donald Trump were president right now, the world would be a much, much more dangerous place. Trump's affinity for Hitler was always covered under an umbrella of his stupidity, right? If America can survive one Trump term, it won't survive a second. There were no problems. But what we've also said to election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves. So, you know, it's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. Trump is running as an autocrat, full stop. What is your plan for making sure he's never president? I mean, let's deal with Hitler, okay?
In the cesspool that is the MAGA base.
He lies easier than he breathes. Because at this exact time next year, depending on what happens in November, 7 months from now, we can't say for certain that there would even be a White House correspondence dinner or even a free press or even a White House press corps. This time next year, I might not be sitting here.
No Nicole Wallace, no White House press correspondence dinner, no Morning Joe. We can only dream. Here they are melting down as the country, by the way. You saw the, we've got riots on both coasts. Haven't seen it since the 60s, as that report said coming out of Los Angeles, UCLA. And here all of these talking heads can discuss is the bad orange man. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Also coming up, a little bit of housekeeping here. Coming up, we've got Dinesh D'Souza, best-selling conservative author. He's written so many books, I'm not sure what where I can or how I can narrow down the questions for our interview on Monday morning. But before that, he's got a public address at Armstrong Auditorium. That's at 7:30 p.m. this Sunday evening. It's coming up in just a few days. Mr. D'Souza will be with us Sunday morning. We'll also show him Celtic Throne. There's about 100 seats left for that performance. I don't know how many times we've performed in Edmond, but we always have a strong showing of support here on our home turf. So we're excited that he gets the opportunity to see that and then to address you, the general public, Sunday evening, 7:30 p.m. Just go to thetrumpet.com or to armstrongauditorium.org if you'd like to secure your seats for the special event. Tickets are just $15. That's it. That's it. Lots to get to on today's show. You look at the mayhem at UCLA. Sometimes you're going to get someone from the regime media saying the quiet part out loud, like Al Sharpton from earlier today. This is clip 3.
How do the Democrats, how do all of us on that side say January 6th was wrong if you can have the same pictures going on college campuses?
Lord, don't make a parallel with January 6th.
You lose tomorrow. Reason,
that has happened, though.
You know it's bad if Al Sharpton starts telling the truth. But there was Mika to scold him. Oh, don't dare make a parallel to January 6th. These have been going on for days. January 6th, I'm old enough to remember that interrupted the congressional session for 4 hours. 4 hours. And the doors were wide open, just like they usually are for visitors. Visitors going in and out of the Capitol all the time. Now, we know there was some vandalism. We know there was some unrest. We know there were Antifa elements in the crowd. We know that the FBI was embedded in it as well. Government informants. That's right. And yet here they are. Here they are, in a lot of ways, defending the students. Defending, and as I was saying in Principles of Living this morning, how sad is it? You see some, I didn't even bring the clips, but you see some of these spokespeople coming out to speak on behalf of the Hamas supporters. Just empty heads, basically. Empty heads. What are they learning in the university? What are they learning at college? How is this preparing them for marriage and family? This is what we do with our classes like Principles of Living, Marriage and Family. We have Principles of Living for freshmen. We go through the missing dimension in sex. We have Marriage and Family for juniors and seniors. God's college actually prepares the students for life, for service in the community and in the congregation, for service in the work of God. What a contrast to the propaganda mills that are most universities today. Just churning out left-wing Marxist propaganda. That's what it amounts to. And here you see this alliance between the Marxists and the Islamists. That's right. They were protesting in the 1960s against the war in Vietnam. Well, today they're protesting in support of Hamas. Really remarkable. Sickening, I guess is a better word, to witness this. The war in 24, look at how many fronts there are in this war. I mean, you've got Jeroboam versus Antiochus. These people, I mean, mental illness is real. You see it on the Morning Meltdown. You see it with poor Nicole Wallace. Mental illness, mental derangement, Trump derangement syndrome. You've got Jeroboam squaring off against Antiochus. You've got Iran versus America. You've got the Islamists against little Judah, the Jew hatred. The war in 24, times of the Gentiles, the Bible calls it. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43, it says, "The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low." We've got strangers all over the place, people that hate America. This is the propaganda that so many of our young people receive at the university. And then added to that, you've got all the Biden people are talking about bringing in more than 1 million refugees from Palestine or from Gaza. You think there's plenty of Hamas sympathizers on campuses today? Wait until we invite actual Hamas members into the country. No other Islamist country wants them. Why? Jordan has a lot of Palestinians. Why won't they take in more? Or Egypt? Or Iran? Or Saudi Arabia? None of them want them. What does that tell you? The United States, Joe Obama wants them. Barack Obama, the dear leader, he wants to invite them in. Oh, yes. He would love to double or even triple the size of these protests at campuses near you. That's right. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. This is how a country dies, by suicide. No other nation, think of it, no other nation, even when there's a common ground religiously, no, don't want them. Some of these other nations that have Palestinian populations, they know that they'll come in and cause trouble. Let's just call it what it is. But here's the dear leader. I mean, he wants more of them. He's inviting in the world. They're coming in from all over the world. Joe Obama's flying them in. I'll get to that story a little bit later. They're flying them in. War in 24. This is a war that's been building for decades. Mr. Armstrong was on top of this in the United States and Britain in prophecy, the sickness within. Of course, my father has talked in much greater detail about this sickness, this disease on the inside, this attack on the inside. You can get to that in America Under Attack, or in He Was Right, as I've been plugging this week. The communist infiltration of America was prophesied. It was prophesied. War in 24. Listen to this from Fox Business the last day or two, clip 9.
Well, it is very clear who are the real players in this war. For example, the Islamic Republic of Iran is very vocal about their support for these pro-Hamas groups. Right now on all Iranian media, they're broadcasting the images of what is going on American campuses. And I think that should actually send a very clear message to White House officials that this is beyond just a public safety issue. This is a national security issue that they're not even paying attention to.
This is the type of incitement that we're allowing in the United States under Joe Biden's watch. This would have never happened under President Trump. Biden is complicit in this violence, and he's not saying anything, Maria, because you've seen Manmouth poll come out saying 20% of his base is for this type of violence. He is pandering to this liberal elite, and at the expense of our students, at the expense of our country, at the expense of democracy.
20% of the base. That's right. The Joe Obama people, they've got to get Dearborn if they're going to win Michigan. So you pander to these violent elements. They want violence. 20%. The Democrat base, they want violence. And that's the group that Joe Obama is reaching out to. That's the group that Joe Obama is supporting. What was it the lady said there at the top? The real players in this war. It is a war. And you've got Iranian media. They're coming out in support of these Hamas-supporting protesters at Columbia, at UCLA. This is mind-boggling that 99% of the American people wouldn't just say, okay, I'm on the side of America. I'm pro-America. I'm against Iran, or at least certainly the terrorist elements of the Iranian regime. I'm certainly against Hamas. I remember what happened on October 7. They attacked Israel. Israel's the victim here. They're not the aggressor. Israel was minding its own business. And then in comes the attack and the raping and the murdering and the beating and the pillaging, the burning, all of that. This is just a few months ago. And here, look at how the devil has made Israel, the Jews, out to be the bad guy. Listen to Mehdi Hassan as he tries to justify an intifada of all things. Clip 4.
When was the last entirely peaceful intifada?
I don't believe that intifada in and of itself is a terroristic or violent phrase. And the first intifada was largely nonviolent for the first year. Palestinians were killed at a rate of 27 times the number of Israelis who were killed. So just to be clear, that's what intifada means, uprising. These students are not calling for violence. They're not. If they wanted to, they'd call for violence. They'd call for suicide bombings. Calling for an uprising, Piers.
It's just an uprising. It's not a violent uprising. So here we go. Here we are headed into the summer of love. Another summer of love, part 2. We're heading into the summer of love, and you're going to have people like that saying, yeah, as I look around and see these burning buildings, I'm here to report to you that it's mostly peaceful. Everything is just, it's real. It's almost utopia-like. That's what they were telling us in the summer of 2020. Then, January 6th, I mean, that was the most violent uprising in the history of humanity. And now we're back to what they typically do with violent criminals. They encourage them. They let them out of jail the next day. They support them financially. They praise them. These are young people, after all, and their voices need to be heard, don't you know? Lee Smith had an article at Tab, but we're going to have to get him on the program again. It's titled Saving Hamas. Saving Hamas. That's the foreign policy objective for the dear leader. We've got to save them. We've got to throw them a lifeline. We've got to really corner the Israelis. We've got to make sure that their hands are cuffed behind their backs. The Palestinian terror organization refuses to release hostages while clinging to its last stronghold in Rafah. So why is the Biden administration throwing the full weight of the U.S. government at Israel to prevent it from routing Hamas? Israel can rout Hamas. Israel has the power to destroy Hamas. But the dear leader doesn't want that, does he? Neither do the mullahs. Neither do the campus protesters. Neither does Dearborn, Michigan. It says here, on whose behalf were the Palestinians acting when they destabilized the region with their gruesome October 7 attack? Iran. but also the Biden administration, a.k.a., I'll add, Joe Obama, the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Excuse me. It says here the two share an interest in collapsing the traditional U.S.-led order of the Middle East that Donald Trump had restored after Barack Obama began the process of dismantling it. It all goes back to the dear leader, doesn't it? War in 24, it's Antiochus squaring off against Jeroboam. That's what we're seeing more clearly every day. It says here, up until Obama, the pillars of America's security architecture were the Persian Gulf's oil-rich Arab states, led by Saudi Arabia, and in the Eastern Mediterranean, Israel and Egypt. It says, early in his first term, Obama signaled he intended to undo the order when he gave a speech in Cairo. That was back in June of 2009. We covered it at length in at the Trumpet magazine, thetrumpet.com. Tomorrow's news today. Obama went in there to empower, among other things, to empower Iran. And of course, to work against, to undermine Israel at every turn. And Egypt, certainly Mubarak's regime, and Saudi Arabia to some extent. Obama's aides made it clear that his second term would be devoted to securing a nuclear deal with Iran. That just basically created a pathway for Iran to get the bomb. It wasn't intended to stop Iran. No. Obama, he locked it into the JCPOA. Yeah, we've got to make sure that they have nuclear power, just like other nuclear power nations as well. It says here, this was only the beginning. As step by step, Trump erased Obama's legacy in the Middle East and restored the pillars of the American-led regional security order. He backed the military regime in Cairo and moved the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. He acknowledged Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, the Jordan Valley, and large parts of the West Bank. The Trump brokered normalization agreements between Israel and other regional states known as the Abraham Accords, reaffirmed the U.S.-led regional order by binding our allies together and thus to our allies to each other, I should say, and thus to America. Crucially, the Abraham Accords also ignored the Palestinians. You can see just how all of this enraged the dear leader as he saw his Middle East agenda unravel during just 4 years of Donald Trump. It says, naturally, the Abraham Accords were repugnant to the Obama faction. The normalization deals undid Obama's balance of power project, i.e. strengthen U.S. adversaries at the expense of allies, and push the left's longtime darlings, the Palestinians and the Islamic Republic, to the margins. Yeah, that's right. That's where they should be. Hamas and Iran, they should be on the margins. They should be off to the side. Obama wanted to bring them right to the center. Obama wants Iran running the Middle East. He shares their anti-Americanism. He's cut from the same cloth, same ideology. Here you see this fusion, as I say, of Marxism and Islamism. You talk about strange bedfellows, but we're seeing the marriage. It's as strong as ever. It says that's how we got to October 7. Contrary to the Biden administration's talking points, the Iranians didn't see Saudi-Israeli normalization talks as an existential threat. Rather, they correctly saw it and other Biden moves as an invitation to disrupt and destabilize the regional order that Trump had rebuilt. Here's their opportunity, and it's happening under the fake president, Joe Biden. Look at all this that's happened in just 3.5 years. And then you turn on the talking heads in the morning. Not that I watch those programs, but you see the clips and you're just like, can you report on anything that's actually happening that's hurting the country? They can't. They can't. They're so blinded by their rage for Donald Trump. They can't tell you the truth. They won't tell you the truth. It says here, and yet for many good faith observers, it remains a mystery why Obama and then Biden sought to undo the U.S. order of the Middle East. To many, it remains a mystery. Not to us. Here again, if you don't have America under attack, this book explains It explains why we've got a wide open border in the South. It explains why these protesters are taking over campuses. It tells you why the United States, under Obama's leadership, is empowering Iran. America, as the title says here, America is under attack. It's being attacked from within. And President Trump sees this. I played the clip for you yesterday, I believe. He sees that this is the greatest threat facing America at this moment. And that's why the ones attacking see Donald Trump as an existential threat. You see it in the morning meltdowns. You see it with Nicole Wallace. You see it with all of them in the regime media. It's not going to their transformation won't survive another Trump term. So they've got to destroy him. You look at what Joe Obama's doing. This is from Richard Palmer's Morning Brief today. It says the Biden administration is continuing to actively import migrants. Fox News has more details on the program to fly hundreds of thousands of migrants into U.S. cities. And then it gives the figures. And we've covered some of this before. If you don't have a subscription to our email alerts, we've got morning briefs, we've got evening briefs, we've got email alerts that go out advertising this show, this program. It's a lot to keep up with, but you need them coming into your mailbox. When you think about what comes into your email inbox on any given day, the trash, the spam, the worthless material. I mean, in this case, you can get some really important content. We had a forum this morning for the students, encouraging them. Consider this college as a contrast to what you see in the world today. The students were receiving instruction this morning about watching world events, about delving into Bible prophecy, knowing where we are in the prophetic, in the grand scheme of Bible prophecy. I mean, we're actually encouraging 18 and 19-year-old young people to study their Bibles, to watch world events, to be informed. And they are, compared to the average 18 or 19-year-old today. It says here the Biden administration could soon begin importing migrants from another part of the world, Gaza. CBS News reported that the Biden administration is working with Egypt on a proposal to bring Palestinian Arabs in Egypt over to the U.S. if they have U.S. ties. They would have refugee status, which would give them permanent residency, help with housing, and a path to U.S. citizenship. Can you believe this? There's 15, 20 million illegals here at this moment, probably more. And here's Joe Obama saying, we need more. And this time we need them from Gaza. We want to bring them in from Gaza. America's under attack. Fundamental transformation. Listen to Donald Trump. He's the only one that speaks sense. He's the only one that has common sense with respect to this curse, with respect to this sickness, with respect to this open and gaping wound. He said this on the campaign trail yesterday, clip two.
Allowing millions and millions, which is not sustainable, of people coming into our country through the southern border, and many, many really bad ones, okay? Many, many bad ones. You're going to destroy Social Security. You're going to destroy Medicare. You're going to destroy the fabric of the country. It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country. And they're going to destroy our country. So we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country. We have no choice.
Listen to how well received that message is. Very simple message. The largest deportation of illegals that this country's ever seen. And the people erupt in applause. Joe Scarborough won't. Nicole Wallace won't. They're hard at work to try to bring in millions more. Because it doesn't affect them. They live in their gated communities. They're millionaires. They don't care about inflation. They don't care about the illegals. It doesn't impact their day-by-day living. It's just like that economist guy said to the Morning Meltdown panel. You know, as far as young people and the prospects for them ahead as we go forward, and how that, you know, used to be 4 years ago, a new house was $290,000 on average. Now it's $420,000. So for these college students taking over university campuses, You know, what kind of future do they have? Just looking at it, I mean, obviously, we have a future. Those of us that understand God's truth and plan and purpose, we see that this is culminating in the return of Jesus Christ. Before that, the Great Tribulation. It's prophesied in your Bible. But you know, Herbert Armstrong, I think it's at the start of chapter 12, maybe, of Missing Dimension in Sex, where he just talks about human nature. It's been the same as it's always been, but because of technology, it just spreads so much faster. And then you add to that, that because of the flawed system of education, so many of our young people, they come up through the ranks and they graduate with no hope. Hopelessness has set in. Look at the skyrocketing figures. Forget about inflation. What about suicide? What about fentanyl overdose? What about sickness, disease? You've got these reports coming in where people are quietly admitting, yeah, the vaccines, they have caused quite a few side effects. But hey, we got it done quickly. And, you know, it also saved some lives. So I guess it's just a kind of a wash. What are young people today have to look forward to besides that? And even those in God's college, even those in God's church have to really fight hard to put away negativity and murmuring and complaining and gossip, discouragement, maybe even mild depression. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. Satan will bombard us with thoughts of negativity if we're not constantly on guard and vigilant. But you look at the steady content of propaganda that your typical 19-year-old student is getting at the university campus, and you can see why more and more, even in our nation, that don't necessarily know God's truth or purpose, are not even sending their young people off to college. This is from The Trumpet earlier this year, April 2024, I guess that might be the latest issue. May's probably out by now, but in any event, just speaking of the millions and millions of illegals pouring into the country, it says the radical government in Washington, D.C. is not incompetent. It is immoral. It goes on and talks about how the president has a constitutional duty to resist or to stop this invasion. You can see it on the cover there. Tomorrow's News Today says here, by refusing to close the U.S. southern border, Joe Biden has violated his oath to faithfully execute immigration laws enacted by Congress. It's unconstitutional, and yet it continues. You know, the regime media, they go on and on. Nicole Wallace can't say a sentence about Donald Trump without saying, twice impeached, four indictments, blah, blah, blah. And think, as I said earlier this week, the Republicans have been in control of the House for a year and a half. The Bidens have they've gotten away with all of these crimes. They've made tens of millions from abroad, even from the CCP. And yet, no impeachments, no indictments, nothing. Nothing. No, they joke at the correspondents' dinner on Saturday night. You know what my grandmother loves about you, Joe Biden? You're decent. You're decent. That's the party line. And you step out of line, well, they may kick you out of Commons, as we covered yesterday. Don't dare call the dear leader in Canada a racist or wacko. Sickness has set in. It's worse than that, though. It's an attack. A full frontal attack on America, on Canada, on Britain, on the nations of Israel, little Judah in the Middle East. It says here, Trevor Loudon, a communism expert and contributor at the Epoch Times, has noted that it would only take an additional 15 million to 25 million Democratic voters to transform, interesting word choice, to transform America into a one-party dictatorship, and that the best way to get these voters is to open the southern border so Biden does not care that a majority of Americans disapprove of how he's handling the border crisis, because he's not trying to increase his popularity among Americans. Illegal immigration and election fraud are means for holding on to power. He's trying to please the illegals. He's trying to please the pro-Hamas demonstrators. He's trying to please Dearborn, Michigan. Not Americans. Tells you everything that you need to know. So many traitors in our midst. Speaking of that, that James O'Keefe revelation, just yesterday, Richard Palmer wrote about this in the morning brief as well. High-ranking CIA officials hid information from President Donald Trump while he was in office, a CIA contractor told an investigative journalist from O'Keefe's media group. The CIA, yeah, actually, they were spying. The intel community was spying on Trump. And then, now we know from undercover reporting, you know, you would think this would interest the Morning Meltdown people, but no, no, it's James O'Keefe. I mean, we're not going to report anything. He discusses the CIA withholding information from President Trump while he was president. Traitors at the CIA, that's what it amounts to. Listen to this from that report, clip 6.
Amjad talks about how the CIA kept information from Trump.
We kept information from him.
Say one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes. He said he did it. And there are certain people that would give him a high-level overview, but never give it to anybody. You know, do you know why? It's all leaked those details.
Amjad Fasisi states higher-ups within the intel community, including CIA directors Mike Pompeo and Gina Haspel, and the upper levels of their staffs colluded to withhold information from sitting President Trump.
So the agencies kind of like all got together and said, we're not going to tell Trump.
The higher-ups.
The higher-ups.
We put it this way, the executive staff, we're talking about the director and his subordinates.
Like, what titles are they?
Director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA would keep.
Yes.
Are you guys still watching him?
I would say yes.
Like, it sounds like you guys are still watching him and his team.
Of course we are. Nothing goes by without somebody watching.
They're always watching, aren't they? Watching Trump. Watching Trump's inner circle. It kind of makes me think of a comment or a point that Trump often makes, that as much as they've abused their powers to go after him, think about how clean his record is. If all that they can get him on is overvaluing his properties or giving hush money to this woman that comes forward with all these accusations, something everyone and their dog in Hollywood does, and DC as well, by the way. Everyone does it. Every rich and powerful individual does it. We've become such a litigious society. People will just take you to court. I mean, I'm sure there are some cases where the money is intended to quiet someone that is telling the truth. But there's also a lot of liars that are just looking for a quick buck. Listen again to this O'Keefe revelation, clip 7.
How do you keep information away from Trump?
Give it to him.
But wouldn't he ask?
What if he doesn't know you?
What if the President of the United States asked for the information? Well, I mean, if he doesn't know it, we just hide it. Look, we're the deep state. We're the administrative state. We're the unelected bureaucrats. We have control. We don't want some president, some duly elected president, to come in and disrupt that. And so they spy on him. And so they withhold information, including Pompeo, including the ones that Trump appoints. It's unbelievable. This is a spectacular revelation. And yet, as you heard in the cold open, Trump, 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 and Trump. Can't come back. If he does, that may be the end of my show. Because he's going to control the FCC. No. You were the ones. You were the ones doing everything possible to maintain your grip on power and to control him. But because he's not easy to control, because he's not of the Uniparty, he's not a member of the swamp. He's got to be destroyed. All this is disgust. God's bringing him back. Read America Under Attack. So obvious what's happening here. I gave you the polls from earlier this week. 49% to 43%. But it's like that article on the flow of illegals coming into the country points out. Joe Obama's not interested in winning the support of actual American voters. Joe Obama's interested in getting the support of illegals and also in just creating this complex network of cheating, of ballot harvesting, of creating ballots, which about one in five Americans has admitted to doing, cheating. Yeah, Tucker revealed this last week. I played the clips earlier this week. Listen again to the one last clip from the James O'Keefe revelation, clip 8.
And we also have people that monitor this. That's why.
So you guys had human sources.
How do you think we get information?
Like wiretapping? Is that
Mueller?
How did you guys figure out that Trump was colluding with the Russians? Did you guys use
human intelligence?
So the intel community was able to use FISA to spy on Trump and his team. And that's how we found out that he was colluding with the Russians. Was it the CIA or the NSA that spied on Trump?
So it could be all of them.
This guy, by the way, absolutely despises Trump, thinks he's an idiot, thinks he's justified in withholding information from him. The whole agency, CIA, justified in not telling Trump the truth, not giving Trump the information, even when he was president. You can see why Americans are very supportive of Trump saying, I need to get in there and clean house. I need to get in there and turn the investigative powers of the government against these corrupt investigators, against these spies that are spying on their own countrymen. This is the product of the Marxist infiltration of higher education. This is, you see the young ones taking over Columbia University, and then you see the older ones there, like that guy, the career bureaucrat, who says, yeah, Trump must be stopped. We've got to use all the powers of the federal government to do it. We can cheat, we can steal, we can be dishonest and lawless, whatever it takes. These are the people attacking Donald Trump. National Review, this is Andy McCarthy. He says here, I have a column up today on why Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's prosecution of former President Trump violates both the federal and state constitutions. It's unconstitutional. And this is from Andy McCarthy, who's a smart guy, but he's no fan of Donald Trump. He's made that pretty clear in recent years. It says it offends the U.S. Constitution because the indictment pleads a crime, felony falsification of business records, that is different from the one Bragg is presenting to the jury. The crime of conspiracy to steal an election by violating federal campaign finance statutes. So you've got, on the one hand, the crime that's embedded into the court documents, and then what he's trying to sell it as before the jury. Smoke and mirrors. And he'll probably find 12 jury members that will agree with him, because mental illness is real, because anti-Americanism is real, because Trump derangement syndrome is real. It says here further on in the piece, when it comes to due process, it's about as basic as it gets, that to be sufficient, penal statutes and indictments must put people on notice of, respectively, what conduct has been prescribed and what prescribed conduct has been charged. It says when basic due process is denied, we get the confusing farce that is the ongoing trial. In other words, Alvin Bragg is lying to the jury. The indictment's based on nothing. And the jury is going to be hearing about so-called crimes that they're making up as they go. And they hope it'll stick. It just needs to stick for 8-9 months. Just get him behind bars. Just put him in prison until after November. Then, hey, we'll call off the dogs then. That's the strategy. This is from Fox News. Michael Cohen, he's the star witness for Bragg. Keep that in mind. The serial liar now has been exposed. He's been convicted for lying, for perjuring himself. And this is the star witness that Alvin Bragg puts forward. This one says, Michael Cohen, who is supposed to be a star witness in New York versus Trump, might have torpedoed the case before taking the stand by ranting about it on TikTok while fundraising, according to legal observers. See, they just can't help themselves. Trump, I mean, he's to be gagged. He can't speak openly. He cannot talk about the case. But Cohen, I mean, he's the star witness. He can go on TikTok or wherever else and wax eloquent about the key details of the case. It says it's a major problem for prosecutors. It's not a problem for Cohen's credibility because he has none. He is a convicted perjurer and fraudster whose current defense of his fraud convictions is that he wasn't telling the truth when he pled guilty. Former assistant attorney Andy McCarthy told Fox News. ABC News published an article Sunday declaring Cohen's actions could be a problem, pointing out that Cohen has chimed in on former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker's testimony, has regularly railed against Trump, has insisted the jury isn't bored, and can profit when followers shower him with gifts. He's making money off the endeavor. He's saying whatever he wants. No gag order for Michael Cohen. He's the star witness. It says TikTok allows viewers to donate gifts as they watch users live stream, which can then be converted into money or virtual items, ABC News reported, citing the social media's platform website. It's a problem for prosecutors because they chose to build a case on a witness with a track record of bad conduct and deep bias, and not surprisingly, he can't help himself but continue to act in character. He just can't help it. He can't help but saying some of the quiet parts out loud as they reveal their playbook, as they are motivated and moved, inspired by Get Trump. All things about Get Trump. This is, again, yet another product of our modern educational system. You see the young ones taking over campuses, and you see the older ones, the millionaires around the table at Morning Meltdown. You see Barack Obama out there going after big business, going after the rich, and that's who he is. He is big business. He is filthy rich. Same with the Biden crime family. Same with the Pelosis. Same with the Schumers. Same with the McConnells. Same with the Romneys. And you could go right down the list. Trump's wealthy as well, but at least he's a self-made man. At least you can go around New York or Mar-a-Lago and you can actually see the fruits of his labors. Quite unlike these corrupt actors, these communists in sheep's clothing. My father had an article, and this is back in February of 2016, the deadly path of higher education. He says, just look at education today. Look at what it's producing. I mean, our society is what the educational system makes it. Nasty, empty-headed children are taking over the university. This was 8 years ago. How much more, you know, applicable is this article to today, what we're seeing today? Some of what these students are learning borders on insanity and will prove to be dangerous to America. I mean, they're making fun of it. People with a sane mind, they're making fun of them on social media platforms. These useful idiots that open their mouth and they just spew out Marxism or Islamism, anti-Americanism. These events make it clear higher education today is plagued by deeply alarming problems. It should be deeply alarming. Instead, we coddle them. We justify their sins. We tell them that we're really for you, even as inflation skyrockets, even as we just hand over the debt burden of this country to our children and their children. Here you go. Here's $34 trillion that you and your generation can take care of. How sick is this? What a lack of love and concern for others. These people that just line their pockets. And who suffers in the end? We're not going to, I mean, just leave aside the prophecies for a moment and the fact that Christ is going to return soon. But supposing life were to go on for another 100 or 150 years, I'm not going to be around. Joe Scarborough is not going to be around. Who's going to be around? The children and the grandchildren. And what are they going to be left with? And how are they going to get out of this hole, this massive hole that we've dug for them? It's a bottomless pit. And we just keep spiraling on downward. And getting up and talking about the news, which is all things Trump. Trump bad. Trump Hitler. And the country goes up in flames. These are the fruits of modern education. It says here, we see indoctrination that makes students hypersensitive and even openly aggressive over fictional supposed aggressions. We see students now out radicalizing their radical teachers. They actually consider their own liberal university educators to be racist oppressors. I mean, they actually come out and they're worse than the Marxist professors that Barack Obama hung out with when he was a student at Columbia. It says in today's universities, there's a demand for diversity, but a sameness in thinking. They all think exactly the same. There's groupthink and intellectual intimidation, and more there's aggression and hatred. As I say, I mean, this article applies to today more so than, you know, whatever the hot button issues were back in 2016. It says here, the students insist that they want social justice, but that's not what they want. They want injustice. They want their own way, like spoiled children. Selfishness, vanity, strife, division, all those works of the flesh as they're listed off there in Galatians 5. What we need are the fruits of God's Spirit. What we need are the fruits of God's love. But we don't have it. We don't see it. It's just the opposite. Satan's way. Satan's way of thinking. My father writes, the truth does not matter to these people. That fact resurfaces again and again in these stories. They don't care about the truth. They want to destroy truth. That's very telling as to the real nature of this movement and the evil spirit behind it. That's right. Ephesians 2:2. 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Revelation 12 and verse 9. My father says, these radicals have bigger goals, and if they have to lie, exaggerate, make false accusations, and invent grievances, then so be it. The ends justify the means, right? If you have to lie, cheat, steal, murder even, then go ahead. Says here, that's what these students are learning in our colleges today. It's all demoniacal intimidation and evil. It's evil. It's important that we see the evil behind human nature. Human nature that is actually Satan's nature. Herbert Armstrong wrote a lot about this in Mystery of the Ages and pretty much a couple dozen other writings as well. But if you don't have a copy of Mystery of the Ages, learn about the mystery of man and the mystery of civilization. That's in the middle of the book, Mystery of the Ages, the 800 number 1-866-930-3024. That article that I just quoted from, that's from the Trumpet magazine. And of course, you can subscribe to the Trumpet for free. No cost, no obligation. You can get a free one-year subscription to this magazine. I've got the January issue. From last year. Ready for war. Ready for war. If you haven't subscribed already, call our operators today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Subscribe today. 1-866-930-3024. That is all that we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on the program, and we'll see you again tomorrow.